it takes so long to come to me, oh baby. And love, love, your love, tell me, were you hiding from me all the time? Each time I tried to find someone to take your place, it was all in vain. No, their lips were never quite the same. No, baby, when I was kissing someone new, deep inside I was missing you. Oh, baby, you made me fall in love with you. Now I don't know just what I'm gonna do. Oh, honey, I looked out into empty space and all I saw was your.
This is The Spec, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Welcome back, everybody, to The Spec. Lovely to have you all on this fine Sunday evening. We have a very special guest on the program today, Mr. Jack Wish. We're having a bit of technical difficulties to start out the show, so I'm just going to work with Jack for the next couple minutes to troubleshoot a couple things. We'll be with you right away. So stay tuned, everybody. Sit tight, and see you soon. That was In the Stone by Earth, Wind, and Fire, and welcome, everybody. I have a very special guest in the studio right now. I'm graced by his presence. Mr. Jack Wish, thank you so much for coming on The Spec today, my man. How you doing?
It is an absolute pleasure to be here. And you're just making me blush. I'm doing so good.
I'm so happy. And actually, for you faithful listeners out there, this is Jack Wish's second appearance on The Spec, because Jack is a part of multiple bands on Tufts campus. And one of those bands, Systemic Flow, played live on The Spec last fall, and it was one of the best things that has happened to this show. You guys are killing it, and I'm just blessed to have you in my presence as well, my man.
Yeah, happy to be here.
So unfortunately, we had a little bit of technical difficulties. Jack was going to be playing a little bass for us on the show today, but long story short, just couldn't get the right equipment in stock. So we've pivoted live radio, everybody, but no worries. I'm happy that Jack's here at all, and instead we're going to be playing a couple songs from Jack, and that have some cool bass lines, it sounds like. Mm-hmm. And there are some favorites of his, and we're going to talk about it, and we're just going to hang out and have a good time, and we'll take it from there. So let's just get into it first. One thing I always ask my guests, regardless of whatever, is where are you from, and how did that shape you? What was your upbringing like, and what was it like first coming to Tufts and adjusting to that?
Yeah, thanks, Sammy. So I'm from New Jersey. I lived there all my life prior to coming to Tufts. And I started off as a classical musician. So I played piano starting at around, I think, 8 or 9. And then I was a bassoonist, of all things.
Really?
I think bassoonist for about 8 years before coming to Tufts. So yeah, when I was doing my little New Jersey high school thing, I kind of got interested in an instrument that lent itself more to kind of more fun and improvisational music than the bassoon. It's a great instrument, not typically used in a rock context, though. So that kind of left me with, you know, drums, guitar, piano, and bass. I was already doing some classical piano. I actually started off on the guitar, but, you know, I never really connected to it. It felt thin. It kind of lacked a warmth for me. So I ultimately just gravitated towards the bass, which I just loved because it has a more supportive role, which I'm comfortable with, but you can also kind of take it out in the town for flashy solos every now and then. It's just been awesome. So I started playing in my high school jazz band, and that's how I think it's kind of got cooking there.
That's great.
And then with the whole transition to Tufts, I mean, it was just an absolute blessing because, you know, we've got about like 1,000,000,000,000 guitar players on this campus and probably like 5 or 6 bassists and like 10 drummers maybe. So I got here and it was like, I took it pretty seriously, but it wasn't a huge part of my life. And it was like, wow, like everyone needs a bassist. So many opportunities.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was total blessing because it was great for getting to know people here. I started playing, you know, bars and different venues around the Boston area, playing in different bands. So it was fantastic.
Yeah. If you could describe the feeling of playing the bass in one word, I know that's probably a very difficult question to answer, but if you could describe the feeling in one word, what would that be and why?
Well, I'd have to say groovy.
Yeah.
Groovy sounding. Because, you know, I mean, the bass, I think the majority of parts you're going to play tend to be pretty repetitive. So that, in a funk or a rock context, that might literally look like playing the exact same notes and rhythms over and over again. Mm-hmm. In a jazz context, that might look like kind of a larger harmonic framework that you're playing different notes in, but still repeats. So the more meaningful part about it is, to me, it's not so much as the like something completely spontaneous every second, but it's more just really locking in with the people around you and then your internal clock and kind of figuring out something that really just like builds on itself and is very consistent and kind of just draws people into the music on a very foundational level. So groovy would be the word.
Very cool. Yeah. And it seems like just watching, like from the crowd, watching a bassist always, to me, from the outside looking in, they always seem, in a lot of ways, like the most focused, the most in rhythm with the rest of the group. I mean, it's just like you have to kind of operate, it seems like, on a different time scale when you're playing the bass, because you really gotta be in tempo with everything else around you, and you're kind of like the backbone in certain ways, it seems like, to the group. Giving that little extra grooviness that you talk about.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's a really good point, and I think kind of piggybacking off of that, one thing that I've really found, you know, in my transition to Tufts is I've kind of learned more about what the role of a bassist is in a live setting. As in, you know, I started to get more into it in the pandemic, but what that looked like for me, because, you know, no one was really playing, was I'd, like, sit in my room and learn all these flashy parts from guys like, you know, Marcus Miller, Victor Wooten, like Flea, who everyone loves. But there's a huge difference between, you know, being able to play something cool and actually just hold down a simple part and make it feel really good.
Yeah.
So that's what I really learned when I got here. And I think the most important thing was just learning kind of how sacred the relationship, and I really mean that, how sacred the relationship between a bassist and a drummer is, because you have to approach it with such focus. I mean, visually you're attuned to what your drummer's doing, you're watching them on that hi-hat, you're paying attention to their foot and that kick drum, and you have to be so locked in. And that kind of synchronization is ultimately, you know, what creates a great song, and that's the kind of the foundation or the backbone, like you were talking about, that everyone else is building upon. And, you know, sometimes when you're playing trickier music, that is a very, like, active kind of intellectual vibe. But a lot of the time, it's just kind of something you're pouring your heart and your soul into and trying to do on a more emotive level. You know, the ultimate dream is, you know, Snarky Puppy is a great band. They're one of my favorites.
And I play them on this show sometimes.
Yeah. And Michael, you know, Michael League, band leader and bassist, he always says he tries to do music for the brain and the booty. So that's the dream. That's the dream, Sammy D. The brain and the booty. Gotta hit him.
You're well on your way, Jack Wish.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
Okay. You got some music that you brought on last minute, and one of the songs that I think we're gonna start with this one, right? From Fees.
Yeah.
Fees, if for those of you out there that don't know, I'm sure a lot of you Tufts students know who Fees is already, but Fees the band is a fantastic conglomeration of individuals. And tell me a little bit about how Fees came together. Fees a band, what was that like?
Yeah, so Fees came together. It was just a wonderful kind of like confluence of events where, I mean, we started together freshman year. I met a bunch of the guys through a friend of mine named Apoorva Iyengar, who I know you're very close
with
as well.
Yes.
And yeah, we just started off as like a very informal jam in Granoff, which is the music center here at Tufts. And we'd just play and we had a great time. So eventually we started kind of roping more people in and kind of trying to figure out our instrumentation and eventually trying to book gigs, to the point where we became this, like, I think at one point we were like this like 10-piece monster with all different instruments, you know, playing bars and everything. And it's been really cool because I mean, you know, initially I came from high school and music always felt like this kind of like silly little extracurricular activity. But, you know, Fees, like, to the extent that, you know, like a band that's not really the full-time job, the people in it can take off, it really did. You know, we opened for Flo Rida last year, which was
You did.
Absolutely surreal. Absolutely surreal, Sandy. And yeah, we got some music out, which you can hear in a second, and we've been, you know, toured all around the Northeast playing different schools, and it's just been an absolute, blast. It's been so much fun.
It's been incredible to watch as well. And I mean, when I was at, what Jack was just mentioning was, Fees opened up for, we have a big like spring fling concert at the end of the year at Tufts every year, and Fees opened up for Flo Rida, who was the featured act, the main act of the event. They were the opening act for him, and it was just great. The vibes, I mean, you guys always bring fantastic vibes, and I was really happy when I saw you won that Battle of the Bands and you were able to play at Spring Fling. It was pretty dope.
Thanks, Abby.
So let's get into the first song here. It's I'll Be Waiting by Fees, a band, what we were just talking about. Tell me a little bit about this song in particular. Why'd you bring on this song? What do you like about it?
Well, I'd say out of the two we have out at the moment, album coming soon though, it's my favorite. You know, I love it just because it's something that we worked on in the very early days as a band. It's a song that our band leader and guitarist Jack Goldberg wrote in high school and originally played with his first band. So it started off, it's pretty much just a four chord loop, and it started off as, you know, really simple instrumentation, really, really simple stuff. And it just grew into this, you know, kind of this bigger thing with, you know, really intricate orchestration and all these fun little musical inside jokes that we kind of like throw in at one another, which I can talk through after. And it also, there's a little bass solo in there, which doesn't hurt. Doesn't hurt.
By the one and only Mr. Jack Wish.
That's me.
I'm so excited, y'all. Get ready. I'll Be Waiting by Fees. Enjoy, everybody. That was I'll Be Waiting by Fees. Tell me a little bit about making that, like putting out the song on Spotify. What was the process of recording the song? Who primarily wrote it? And how did you get all the pieces together to ultimately produce the song?
Yeah, so it was written by that guy, you know, Jack Goldberg, fantastic musician, awesome dude. It was written by him in high school, and he played it with his band in college. There's actually, for you Fees heads out there, there's an earlier version of that very high school band that put out I'll Be Waiting on Spotify. They're called Out of Pocket. Excellent, fantastic group. You guys should check that out, too. But yeah, what basically happened was he brought it, and it was just kind of those four chords looped. And yeah, we brought it in and we just, you know, we had a series of live shows, and every time we would play it and people would try new things, we'd kind of experiment with different musical ingredients together. And eventually, you know, we kind of just hit these staples, like we'd have that little bass solo in the middle with like licks that I'd throw in that our lead guitarist Ben Schmelken would then reciprocate.
Nice.
And we had all that sort of fun stuff. We had a trumpet player who's since graduated. We called Burpee. I don't actually recall his real name. We played together for 2 years, but he was called Burpee so much that, yeah, he's still Burpee to me, and he had some fantastic trumpet licks in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically what happened was that we would just kind of groove on it every week. We did all these weekly weekend shows, and we would add these ingredients until we had that beautiful kind of emergent product that arose from all that trial and experimentation, which was that song. And then, yeah, it was really interesting for me, the whole process of putting it on Spotify, because it seemed like this very intimidating thing to me. I was like, there's no way, like you probably have to like write essays and like interview, and I don't know how you get on Spotify, but it doesn't seem for me. It's actually a super accessible thing. You know, I have tons of friends here who like make beats and do all this, you know, kind of fun music, and it's very accessible and very easy to get on Spotify. You can go through some super low cost music distributors, and yeah, if you've got something you're passionate about, you just kind of throw it right on up there. And I think it's a wonderful, you know, like compensation's obviously not great. I think we've made like
always in it for the money.
I think we've made like 3 or 4 cents in our career as an online band. But yeah, it's just a super, in terms of just accessibility, I think it's a pretty democratic and accessible platform. And it's really cool. It's just cool to be able to, you know, like be on a run and then hear something you've made, and you feel so proud. It's wonderful.
Yeah, it's a fantastic song. And so it sounds like a lot of the song building process was improvised. It sounds like a lot was just you guys just messing around in studio. What percentage would you say? So how much of the song that Jack Goldberg initially brought in, the foundation of it, is still there? And how much of it is just stuff you guys threw in over time just jamming together?
I think it was, you know, the nuts and bolts of it. So like the chord progression, the lyrics, those were all brought in. Mm-hmm. But you know, the horn parts, the bass groove, the vocal harmonies, that was all kind of experimentation based. And I think that's kind of like one of the beautiful things about being a college band. As in, you know, I know plenty of people who, you know, like do music professionally or are more intense about it. And there's kind of there's such an intense pressure on you as a performer to, you know, constantly do things perfectly, to, you know, to really hit these high marks. Whereas, you know, if you're doing it for fun, if you're doing it as a hobby that you still take really seriously, you can kind of approach it with a lightheartedness that I think is really conducive to growth and performance and having a good time. And instead of being this like more intimidating, scary thing where you're trying to hit the right notes all the time and, you know, nail every groove.
Yeah.
Instead, it's kind of like just another way of socializing with people you really care about, where you're just communicating harmonically with one another, and you're just kind of like making, you know, like changing things up a little bit each time to create this really kind of fun product that you all kind of share.
Yeah.
Like cumulative responsibility for.
Yeah, and honestly, like again, from the audience's perspective, it shows when you have such a collaborative group, and you can tell when music is not just completely written by one person or completely just from one mind. You can hear when you're playing, as you're performing it, like with you guys, like I know it's a collaborative process. I know you guys are all adding different ingredients, like you're talking about, to the song, because it sounds very like, sounds very rich. There's a lot of different elements coming in that I feel like one mind couldn't necessarily put together unless they're an absolute genius. you guys are all geniuses.
Oh my god, they're too kind.
But yeah, I mean, it's great, and it's an awesome song. And they have a lot. Maybe we can get to some more Fee's music later. I want to get to a couple of the other songs that you threw on the playlist today. It's the Wolfpack song. It's Lost My Treble. Wait, what is the full name?
So it's called
Lost My Treble Long Ago.
That's right. It's by the great. So yeah, I'll talk a little bit about this.
Please do.
So it's by the great Joe Dart, who is my favorite bassist, my good friend Kate Beveridge, if she's out there.
Shout out.
I think she kind of worships Joe Dart as well. And he came up in Ann Arbor, University of Michigan, with this fantastic band called Wolfpack, which I'm sure many of you are hip to. I got really into them in high school, and kind of one of my favorite moments, you know, of my young life, and one of my kind of formative moments as a bassist was when my dad took me to see them at this like one Madison Square Garden show they had that was just absolutely incredible and totally blew me away. And Joe Dart, for those of you who don't know about him, is kind of like one of the biggest superstar bassists, as much as of an oxymoron as that might seem. In the world today, where, you know, he has these incredibly iconic grooves, he is incredibly technical, but his music's very accessible at the same time, and he has this really unique kind of station in the world of music where he has these really intricate bass parts that like the entirety of Madison Square Garden will sing along to. So he has been a huge, you know, I kind of hesitate to say influence, because that kind of implies that we're comparable in any way. I think there's a very, 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 very vast gap between me and Joe Dart. Like, I can't even state how vast it is, but it's like his kind of facility with the instrument and the vocabulary he brings to it is something I really aspire to. So I thought, you know, we could kind of unpack one of his songs, a personal favorite that I play all the time with my band Systemic Flow, called Lost My Treble Long Ago. It's quite groovy. Hope you guys enjoy.
I'm excited to play it. Lost My Treble Long Ago by the great Wolfpack. Here we go. Thank you. That snuck up on me. Lost My Treble Long Ago by Wolfpack. Man, I was just grooving in my seat. You weren't kidding, dude.
Jodar brings it, man. That's what I'm saying.
Jodar brings it. Yeah, I love Wolfpack. We could talk about them forever, but I don't want to waste no time. It's PSA time, everybody. You already know. Halfway through the show, I have to read a PSA out. But when I have a guest in, the guest reads the PSA.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And what is our PSA today, Mr. Jackwish?
Well, Sammy D, our PSA today is about a cause that's very near and dear to my heart, which is, of course, ladder safety. So I'll take it away.
Please do.
So everyone listen up, pay attention, and this might just save your life. According to the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, there's something very dangerous in your home. Could be hiding in a closet, waiting in a basement. It's not sharp or toxic or flammable, yet it helps send more people to the trauma center than any other household item. Whew, this is scary. I'm going to take a break. Okay.
Yeah, please take a breath. Okay. Take a second.
Using a ladder might seem easy. Misusing one is even easier. That's a funny little line they just threw in. any of the 150,000 people who fell off their ladders into the trauma, ask any one of the 150,000 people who fell off their ladders into the trauma center alone last year. Don't let a do-it-yourself project do yourself in. For tips on ladder safety, visit orthoinfo.org/ladder safety. That's a public service message brought to you from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and your safety-minded friends here at WMFO in Medford, Tufts Community Radio.
It's a classic PSA. It's been read multiple times on the show before, and it seems a little goofy on the surface. But, I mean, Jack, you yourself have had some run-ins with ladders before. This is no joke.
That's very true. You know, I work my role as a bassist, I'm an EMT. And let me tell you, my friend, these ladders, they might seem like jokes, but in all seriousness, you know, they can get you. And I've seen it.
Yeah.
So, be careful, folks. One rung at a time. And, you know, take it easy.
There you go.
The light can wait. That kind of paint job up top can wait. But your safety can. All right, folks?
There you go. Yeah. Listen to the EMT go.
Yeah.
So that was a groovy little song by Wolfpack. But you're not in just one band. You're in another band on Tufts campus as well. Systemic Flow, the band that was featured on The Spec last fall, who brought some incredible vibes in Studio B in WMFO during the show. Talk a little bit about how you got involved with Systemic Flow, who is in Systemic Flow, and what kind of vibes you're bringing.
Yeah, thanks for the question. Yeah, so Systemic Flow was started by a drummer I played with in a school jazz combo named Caleb Brenner, who's just an absolutely phenomenal drummer, crazy chops, great sense of time. And, you know, I'd been playing in Fees for about a year when at the beginning of sophomore year, he kind of wanted to put together an informal group of musicians to kind of jam together on a weekly basis. So he reached out to a vocalist we know named Io, who, as you know, is an absolute powerhouse.
He's awesome.
Great tenor player named Andrew Kerpel, and a wonderful guitarist who actually joined a little later named Owen Ackerman, as well as a freshman keyboard player who was at the time a freshman named Cole McDermott. And yeah, we started just playing together every week. A lot of R&B, a lot of jazz, a lot of funk, a little hip hop in there. And yeah, it's just we had so much fun with it. We figured we'd kind of take it on the road and show everyone the wonderful time we were having. So we played The Spec. I might say, which was the culmination of my life. I might just go out and say it. We played plenty of Tufts events, and yeah, we played all sorts of house parties and things. And it was just a blast because, you know, we got to have, you know, fun, improvise our own music, do more instrumental stuff, and it was it's a great band. We're actually. Fun fact, as of Fall Fest a couple weeks ago, we changed our name to Free Money.
Oh.
So next time Free Money's in town, show up for some Free Money, team.
Free Money, y'all. Yeah. Free Money, Systemic Flow to Free Money. I like it. Weren't you, and I remember the name's gone through a couple evolutions over time. It was Kids with Cars, right?
Yeah, never
and
a
Systemic
fan. Never a fan.
Never a fan, no.
Yeah, yeah, you know, honestly, I've had a name in my back pocket, the Jackwish Groove Machine, that I've been trying to get started for honestly my entire adult life. And for some reason, people aren't as enthusiastic about the Jackwish Groove Machine as I am.
I'm enthusiastic about the Jackwish Groove Machine.
Thank you, Sammy. You know, maybe it's just the two. Maybe this is the Jackwish Groove
Machine.
This is,
right, I was going to say. Yeah. We got to start with something good here.
Yeah, so that's, you know, if anyone's looking to start a band, you honestly, even if I'm not in it, you guys just, Jackwish Groove Machine. It's a great name, good vibes. I recommend it.
How would you say, between these two bands, how does the repertoire compare between the two? How's it? What? How are the vibes similar? What kinds of music is different between the two groups? Tell me a little bit about the focus of each group and what's going on with that.
Yeah, so I'd say for Fees, we tend to, first of all, we do originals, which as of right now we haven't done, in Free Money, and then we also tend to kind of gear more towards the crowd pleasers, you know, so like a lot of Bruno Mars, a little Katy Perry in there, both of whom fantastic musicians, unironically. I have a great time playing their stuff, which I really enjoy, because you know, there's nothing like being on stage in a crowded room full of drunk people who are having the time of their life, you know. It's yep. It's a great time. And yeah. Then as for Systemic Flow, it's definitely, you know, I wouldn't say more advanced music, but I'd say it's more intricate stuff. So we're playing like a little bit more hip hop. We do some like Roy Hargrove tunes on the jazz side of things. So it's a really nice variety of stuff that we reharmonize and we do interesting arrangements of. So I'd say it's a little bit more of like a conventionally musical group, but at the same time, I kind of hesitate to say that because, you know, the quality of musicianship among the guys I play with and the guys and gals I play with in Fees is also great, and I learned a ton from them. So I'd say they're both super musical groups. I just think the repertoire kind of differs a little bit. Yeah.
What's your favorite genre? I mean, it feels obvious to me, but just say it.
It's the funk. It's
yeah,
the
man.
Funk, yeah, I mean, that's why I'm in the business of bass. You know, it's
you can't have funk without the bass, dude.
You can't. It's the bass heavy genre. You know, there's just honestly, it's a beautiful thing. You know, whenever I'm, you know, honestly, like whatever mood I'm in, like funk bass is the thing I need. You know, I'm feeling down, I'll plug in and then just play. It's almost like a mantra, I think, when you're meditating. I'll just like rip a slap line for like 30 minutes and then it's like, wow, I feel great. And then I'm feeling great.
That's so good.
I'm like, you know what would make this even better? A little bit of bass. And then we just play the same exact thing and it's also fantastic. So I think wherever you are, whoever you are, whenever in time you are, any sort of the chronological spatial coordinate system kind of thing you got going on, funk music is there for you, and it's what you need, honestly.
I love it. And you know what, I just got inspired right when you said funk to play just a little bit of the one and only
Thunder C. Oh yeah.
You a fan?
I think you'd be hard pressed to find a bassist who is not a fan of Thundercat. Great
Thundercat's player. Thundercat's awesome. I mean, I play a lot of music like that on the show, and I mean, you fit right in immediately, Jack Wish. But yeah, like funk, soul, all that. This is why I brought Systemic Flow, now Free Money, onto the show in the first place, because I felt like their music fit the vibe of this show, and it's just a great time. You brought on one more song, Detroit by Marcus Miller.
Oh my god, I'm so, you said that, I just became instantly like so ready to hear it. I'm so excited. Okay, so,
please tell me.
Okay, so Detroit by Marcus Miller is what I would contend is the greatest slap bass line of all time. It is just the like nastiest groove you'll ever see. It's got some double thumping for you bassists out there.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? So that's a down up motion of the thumb that kind of just creates this like propulsive kind of motor groove type deal. It's got, of course, your conventional slapping and popping, even a tap in there, even a tap or two in there for you guys who are listening closely. Incredible interplay between the drummer and the bassist, and then the sax player, whose name is escaping me, also fantastic, has one of my favorite kind of like dissonant yet funky solos towards the end. So yeah, this is a line that took me like a year to kind of like to get down, and it was a huge influence and is a huge influence on my playing, and I just love it beyond belief. So this is Detroit by the great Marcus Miller.
Let's waste no time. Detroit by the great Marcus Miller. Here we go. We'll be right back. That was, oh, that was so good. That was Detroit by Marcus Miller. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Man, not just the bass, but like everything else going on in that song was just like, was so fun. That's all I can say. That was a really fun, groovy song.
That is a band that knows how to lock in. Oh my gosh, that is just, wow. Immaculate is the only word I can think of to describe that.
That's great. And we were just talking about the alto saxophone solo at the end, where it was just going nuts. Mm-hmm. Super fun. So we're getting close to the end of the program today, everybody, and thank you so much as always for listening. Jack, what is the future for you with music, with the bass? Where do you envision yourself taking this instrument and using it throughout the next few years, your adult life? What do you got?
Yeah, I think, you know, I've got about a year and a half left at Tufts, which is, oh my gosh, which is crazy.
It's crazy
to think about. So I think at this point, you know, I'm going at least a jam or two a week, and then usually a gig on the weekends. So I kind of hope to keep that going through the time I graduate.
Yeah.
And after that, it's, you know, for me, it's hopefully off to med school. And then I kind of got the dream of, I've honestly, since I was a little lad, I've always wanted to have an all doctor funk band called Caduceus.
Oh my.
You know what I mean? And I just thought that would be the most magical. And I still think that would be the most magical thing. So that's kind of the next portion of my life. And then, you know, maybe I'm an adult man, and a elderly man can groove too, up until you become dead man, and who knows what happens after that. So if I can take the bass with me, I'll take it down that journey too.
That's great.
Yeah.
And congratulations on med school. You're going to you're Tufts Med, locked into Tufts Medical right now?
Yeah. So Tufts Med, big, looking forward to it a lot. Yeah.
Look at this, a groovy bassist, but also a future excellent doctor.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. How about advice for like incoming freshmen at Tufts, any musicians in general? What is your philosophy being a musician? What is your mindset that you bring to every gig, to every event? What is it? Give us some advice, Jack Wish.
I guess the biggest advice, you know, I could give, and I think this is something I've learned from bass that I've tried to apply to other parts of my life, is that it really, like, in the slightest, does not matter how good you are. As in, you know, I used to think about musical skill as something that kind of existed in this absolute way, where it's like, there's this journey between really crappy and virtuoso, and I'm at this point along that spectrum or this curve or whatever you want to call it. But one thing that's been really interesting since getting here is, you know, I've played with, like, dozens or honestly maybe even like hundreds of people at this point, and it's really amazing where, you know, sometimes I'll be sitting here and I'll be like, oh my god, like I am so by far the absolute worst person in this room, like the people are like playing stuff on a level that I just cannot comprehend, and that still happens a bunch. And then there will be other times where, you know, I'll get invited to a jam and, you know, I'll just be, you know, I feel like I can just like rip and shred, and it's like I feel like super confident and that it's going really well. So I've kind of learned from this kind of experience of playing all these gigs, of playing all these shows, is that it really doesn't matter, you know, how good you are. I don't think that's a super fruitful thing or productive thing to think about. I think it's more of it's ultimately all about enjoying the experience for what it is, and that kind of sense of community and that sense of like kind of communal creativity you get out of music, and that's what lets you get better, you know, just being confident and happy with where you're at on your instrument. You know, I'm really lucky in that I get to kind of like play with people who are just starting out, and there's this almost like shame that people have when they go to their first jams or they play their first shows. They're like, don't look at me, like I'm just figuring it out, like, and then they'll kind of try to hide their playing. So I think I think one of the most beautiful things you can do is like really realize like there really is no reason to be nervous. You know, there's no reason to try to like pigeonhole yourself into a certain skill level, and just be like, I try to think of like playing bass as when I was a kid. You know, you'd be on like a hike or you're at sleepaway camp, and you'd be like, you'd find like a lizard or a salamander, and you'd be like, oh my god, like I have to show my buddies, and go, guys, like look at this thing is crazy, like what's going on, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like that. I think that's what musical performance should be. It's this just this fun, beautiful, weird, wonderful thing that you spend this time cultivating, and then you just want to show it to other people for what it is. So that's my advice.
That's great, and that's advice I feel like that can apply not just to music but to anything. It's to just not, it's easy to doubt yourself, it's easy to always look into the past and think about what you could have done better. But I think the biggest thing is just to, like you said, be confident, enjoy the community of people that you're playing with. Mm-hmm. And I mean, once again, like I said earlier in the show, it always shows how much you love just playing music, being with your bands. And it just makes everybody feel great. So
yeah,
I'm glad that you have that philosophy and you're having a great time with the bands and you're having a great time at Tufts. And Mr. Wish, we're getting close to the end of the show, dude.
Yeah.
It's almost time. Before we sign off, do you want to talk a little bit about Sweat Version A by the Wooten Brothers as the last song you brought on today?
Absolutely. I would love that. So, first of all, Samuel D, before we move on, I just have to thank you. This is my first solo interview performance type beat on a radio show.
You did awesome.
And you
this
have,
was
it's
amazing.
Been such a thank you, and it's been
it's
such
been
a pleasure. Look at that. Jinx.
Same wavelength, I'm telling
Same
you.
Same wavelength, yeah. But yeah, it's been so great, and thank you for having me on.
Yeah, of course.
So, to introduce this next song, this is by... If Joe Dart isn't my favorite bassist, then he's like neck and neck with Victor Wooten, who I actually just saw last weekend. He was just in Boston with his brothers. They're an incredible family band, and they're actually the group that did this track, which is called Sweat. And he is just the wisest, most capable bass player you'll ever meet. I encourage everyone, musician, bass player or not, wherever you are, just to check him out, learn more about who he is as a person, and watch his stuff. So this is kind of a classic, you know, funk type beat tune with some poppier and also some like cool musical elements in it that he just put out with his brothers, which he played at the show I saw this weekend. And I was like, oh my gosh,
no
this
way.
Is incredible. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So it's called Sweat. It's funky, it's fresh, and it's tasty. It's tasty. Immaculate.
This is going to be a great song to end off the show today. As always, this is The Specking. You are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Once again, thank you so much, Jack, for coming on to the program. Mm-hmm. I think we pivoted well. You're going to hear some actual bass playing from Jack in the near future, I hope, on the show, because he knows how to play that bass. And no show next week, everybody. I'm unfortunately busy with a play that I'm doing that I can get into more later, but no show next week, so don't come on here expecting to hear my voice at Sunday at 4 p.m. We'll get back in 2 weeks, but thank you so much, as always, for listening. Hope you're doing well. It's starting to get cold out there, so good luck, and I will see you in 2 weeks. Bye, everybody.
The sun, morning run, get up, here we go. It's 6 a.m. Monday morning. No time for sleeping, no time for yawning. There's no day off and no vacation. Just hard work, dedication, and perspiration. You know it's time to sweat. I need to sweat. I got to sweat. 'Cause every time I sweat, I'm hot as I can get. Listen, they say the early bird catches the worm. Sometimes you win, and sometimes you learn. There's nothing wrong with striving to be the best. Hard work and dedication put to the test. Every single night I got to sweat. I need to sweat. Brother Reggie.
to work.